Yes.
Right before the end of 2018, my wife got me an AMC Theaters A-List membership. And so with that thing, I get to see three movies a week, every week for $19.95 a month. It's a pretty good deal for me because I have three movie theaters right near my house. And in 2014, they were all a part of Carmicky Theaters. And then in 2016, Carmicky Theaters was purchased by AMC Theaters. So now all three of the movie theaters near my house are technically AMC Theater affiliates.
Uh-huh.
So it's great for me, especially since I have way too many people in my house at all times and I desperately need an escape every once in a while. So the A-List membership isn't for everyone, but it's freaking perfect for me.
Yes.
So here's the dealio. Each week, I will be listing the three movies that I saw the week before, and then, after discussing the two that were not picked, I will choose the one film of the week to discuss and debate further. It is a fun new segment that I like to call Steve Stubbs of the Week!
Dun, 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 dun.
It's classy. Pinkies up. For some classy shit. Now, this is week 8 of my membership, and I find myself playing catch-up from Valentine's Day because a big handful of movies came out the week of Valentine's Day. And before we get into this week's films, let me just say the 2019 Oscars are but a few days away from the recording of this episode.
Yes.
And I'm not 100% sure what movie is going to sweep the Oscars in 2019, but it's obvious what's going to happen during Oscars 2020. Replica's gonna sweep.
Yes. Yes.
Sweep everything.
Replica's best, like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Best actor, Keanu Reeves. Best other actor, Keanu Reeves' robot. Keanu Bot. Uh-huh. Best supporting actor, Ed, and his mapping sequence. Best special effects, every second. So the three movies that I saw this week were Alita Battle Angel, Happy Death Day to You, and the Liam Neeson film Cold Pursuit. Now, before I get to my pick of the week, let me talk about the two films that were not chosen for a wee bit. Alita Battle Angel really upset me from the get-go because the theater was actually almost packed. And so I go to my regular seat that I always sit in, third row middle, and right. Some fat family's there. How dare you? I had to go and sit on an aisle seat like a peasant! Like some sort of pauper.
No respect for professionals anymore.
Yeah. I blame the snack bar because what happens is there are three rows.
Uh-huh.
There are three different people. There are three different employees at the snack bar with three different registers. And each one of them is helping one person. Yes. So what I do is, basically I am going to create the line. Great. I am going to line up right here in the middle.
Yes.
And then whenever the next register is open, I will go to that register. That never fucking works because everyone's an asshole and all the people that came after me went and formed their own lines and
didn't
serve for me. And of course, how am I to know that the person that it in front of me in the line that I'm now in is like, okay, now I'm getting kids popcorn kids packs for 12 children.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it. So by the time I got to the theater, I try and get to the theater early so I could secure my favorite seat, third row middle. But by the time I got there, there were already a ton of people. And it's like, damn you. That was my seat.
Yeah. Have you spoken to management? I think you are there enough now where you could talk to management and get special considerations.
Well, my AMC Theaters app is constantly telling me, Steve, don't forget your photo ID, because you will need to show a photo ID every time you use your AMC Theaters app so that we can verify that it's you. But after like week three,
yeah,
they knew, you know, because it's a very small town. After week three, I didn't have to use my ID anymore because just everybody knows,
yeah,
who I am at this point. It's like, oh, you're seeing Serenity? And I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing Serenity. It's supposed to be horrible, and I'm excited. Oh, okay. Have fun, Steve. Becoming the norm of the theater, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
So, Alita Battle Angel is based on a manga, and I remember it being a popular manga. I always call it manga. But every time I talk to Deanna, my niece,
yeah,
she's always saying, oh, did you read that manga? And I'm assuming she knows what she's talking about. So I'm trying to say manga, which goes against my normal instincts of just calling it a manga.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first started working at the bookstore in Sacramento that a lot of people, we always had the manga Alita Battle Angel Alita, and it was very popular and a lot of people bought it. Then came news when I was still working in Sacramento that James Cameron's next film after Titanic is going to be Battle Angel Alita, and I was like, okay, that's weird that he's gonna follow Titanic with a freaking Japanese manga, but whatever. Yeah. So then he bought the rights to it, and I'm like, okay, I guess he's serious about this. And once he bought the rights, I stopped seeing the actual manga on the shelves of the bookstore. And it became harder to find, harder to get. And I blamed James Cameron. So he was going to have that be his next film after Titanic, but then he said, no, I've got this thing about blue people. Just trust me about this. And then after that, I'm totally going to do Battle Angel Alita. So, and I was ready to hate the film. And then I saw the film and I'm like, I'm not sure how I feel about the film. I'm not sure if I like it. I'm not sure if I hate it. But like shortly after I got home, I read this article and the article said everybody in Japan is apparently talking about the fact that the original creator of the manga has already seen it in theaters 5 times because he loved it.
Really? Okay. I've seen it for the first time today. It came up as an ad somewhere or something. And I've been thinking about it because it like really kind of creeped me out. It's like a combination between like a live action human partially CG'd.
Yeah, and let's talk about that.
Please, let's talk about that because I found it disturbing.
The character of Alita is short. She's very short and she's skinny and she has these big massive eyes, and when I first saw a preview for this movie, I said to myself, okay, I don't know if I'm going to see this movie in theaters. And I said that for one really big reason.
Yeah.
Alita looks a lot like one of my exes.
Okay.
She looks a lot like Debbie, who was one of my big exes, because I would comment on it because she said she was 5 foot, but I always wanted to like sneak a tape measure to her.
Yes, I remember you wanting to measure Debbie.
Yeah, because she would say she was 5 foot, but then I knew that like technically under 5 foot is considered like midget.
Yeah.
I think she would just say 5 foot to save face, and that she was actually a secret midget.
A secret midget. Mm-hmm. Undercover midget.
Undercover midget. Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite reality show.
I was going to say Highway to Heaven episode.
No, regular business CEOs go undercover as midgets. And I would always comment on the fact that Debbie just had these ridiculous huge eyes. She looked like a Disney princess.
Yeah.
She had these huge, massive eyes. So when I saw Alita, which is a human actress who's like half human and half CG'd to look like a
freak is what I was going for.
Yeah, I just thought, God, if... And also, she wears like sort of hand-me-down clothes that are fine. Also, dead. God, if she just smells like bad meat and cheese, that would be Debbie.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact: the bad guy in it is the Dr. Don Shirley from this week's movie.
Okay.
So he's been very busy lately. But the problem that I had with Alita Battle Angel, number one, the manga is called Battle Angel Alita, but this film is called Alita Battle Angel, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm working on some movies too, like Shell Ghostin. What other mangas am I working on? Royale Battle.
Yes.
I'm working on Note Death. Titan Attack On. So that pisses me off, number one. Number two, the film was produced by James Cameron, and he focused on the special effects and stuff like that, because that's all he cares about.
Right.
The movie was directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was one of the reasons why it's like, okay, I'll give this film a chance at least. But you got to realize that Robert Rodriguez also did, like, Sin City.
Yeah.
And you can tell because the film has Robert Rodriguez's Sin City-esque sense of style mixed with James Cameron's obsession with special effects over script.
Yes.
And also, I didn't realize that it was just one part of a massive series of movies that they plan to do. So I'm watching the movie and also watching my clock going, they've got 20 minutes to wrap this up, and we still haven't gone to the giant floating city in the sky and met the secret bad guy who controls the ruling class.
Yeah.
Wait a second, they only have about 10 minutes. We haven't even seen who the guy in the sunglasses is. Holy shit, is this not getting wrapped up? I hate it when that shit happens.
Yeah.
Like when I would always hate it in the bookstore when I was reading a book and then I go, oh shit, this is part of a trilogy that hasn't been finished? So now the second book's not going to come out for like 3 years and I won't remember anything from the first book, so I'll have to reread the first book, which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like I might as well wait until the third book comes out, and Lord knows when that comes out. By then, I'll completely forget about the first book and the second book, and it's just so.
Now you're reliving some of my stress of having read the Dark Tower series.
Yeah,
where not only did I have to go back and read the first book again because I had owned the first book, I bought it when it first came out. By the time like the next. Like, fuck, there was a long space. Where was it? It was between Wizards in Glass and the Wolves of the Kala, I believe. I'm not sure. Where it was like years. And we didn't know if he was going to finish up the fucking series or not. So then he said he was coming back out. And I was like, okay, well, I better go back and read the fucking books again.
Bunny, I can't hear you. I'm getting a thing that says connection lost. There was a problem with the network.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear me. It says we're still on.
I can hear you.
It also says that there's a problem with the network and the connection has been lost. So I can't hear you at all right now.
Can you hear me now?
But
you can't hear me. But,
okay, now I
can hear me. Oh, now you can hear me.
Now there you go. Where
Twiddly dicks.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I was thinking not of the Dark Tower, but I was thinking of Chuck Palahniuk.
Well, okay, but wait a second. So now I have to go back and reread them just because it's been so long since he's written any of them. And then later on, that motherfucker decides and goes back and rewrite the first book.
Yeah.
He rewrote The Gunslinger. So I had to go back and read The Gunslinger for a third time.
Yeah.
Now, please, shit on your author.
Chuck Palahniuk wrote a book and it was called Damned. And the reviews said that it had a fun young female protagonist. And the book read as a cross between Dante's Inferno and The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll give this a try. I hadn't read Chuck Palahniuk for a while. And it's like, okay, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
So I read it and I really liked it. And every chapter begins with the same phrase. Are you there, Satan? It's me. And then whatever the girl's name is.
Okay. Like Margaret.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Her name is like Nora or something like that. And it's a really good book and I really, really liked it and it was interesting. And then I got to the end and I'm like, but wait, that didn't wrap any. Oh, shit. That's when I realized that this wasn't just a fun book based in hell. Oh, shit. Chuck Palahniuk's going for the entire Divine Comedy.
Oh.
I gotta now wait for him to shit out Purgatory and Heaven.
Oh.
Damn it. And then by the time the second book came around, I had already stopped giving a shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I really wanted to quit the Dark Tower. When I'm reading the book
and then it's just, we're going to end it here.
Yeah.
It's saying Connection lost again for me, which is weird. This is like a new tablet and everything's working good. And
can you not hear me again?
Like, I can't hear you at all. What's the deal? Should I switch to, right now I'm on my data. Should I switch to Wi-Fi maybe?
Can you hear me now? Let me try shutting down.
I don't know.
Let me try shutting down something. But
if you can hear me right now, I can't hear you.
Okay, well, you can't hear me because you're not responding. And
I guess I don't know why I'm asking you questions. Start talking about my favorite toads.
Well, he's gone on to talk about his favorite.
My favorite one is the big toe on the right foot.
I think it hung up. Hello, hello.
Now I can hear. Are you there?
There I am. I hear you now.
Okay, good. Just to be safe, I switched from my data to Wi-Fi to see if that'll help.
Okay.
So that was Alita Battle Angel. It's okay, but
first time today I saw the commercial and she just creeped me out.
It had
huge eyes and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she looked a lot like an ex, and it made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The second movie that I have not chosen this week is Happy Death Day to You. I like the story of how I watched this film more than I like the actual film, because I had repeatedly seen the previews for Happy Death Day to You, which is the sequel to the horror movie Happy Death Day. And I had wanted to go see Happy Death Day to You, but I can never see a sequel without seeing the original.
Yes.
I mean, that's just a sin. So 2.5 weeks before the sequel came out, I borrowed the movie on DVD from Deanna, and I said, okay, so now I just have to watch the movie, and then when the sequel comes out, I will be ready for it.
Yes.
I will watch it now. I'll watch it, and I'll like it. So anyway, I ended up not seeing it until a few hours before I went to go see the prequel.
Okay.
Because I'm just a lazy bitch, and I never got around to watching the DVD. So I ended up watching the movie at like 2 o'clock, and then I went to go see the movie at 7. And thank God I did, because Happy Death Day to You is what happens when a cheap movie makes a shit ton of money, so they go all out for a very expensive sequel.
Yes.
That takes itself too seriously, because it's not the fun cheap movie that was successful in the first place.
Yes, uh-huh.
Because the first film, Happy Death Day, is just a fun, dumb, kind of teenage horror movie, Groundhog Day, and it's really, really fun. But they made it for about $4 million, and it made about $100 million in the box office. So then the studio said, well, we need to go all out with the sequel. We'll answer the questions that people have on their minds. We'll make it really sci-fi heavy. We'll make it a drama, too. And it'll be really exciting. And we'll go back and relive scenes from the first film. And it's just, okay, the first film was fun. The sequel is not fun anymore.
Yes.
You overthought it.
Yes.
The first film was just dumb fun. And now you've taken it too seriously. Still, it was fun. But what they do with the sequel, what they do with Happy Death Day to You is they relive the entire first movie. They basically Back to the Future to it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So the character from the first film has to relive the first film over again. So I'm happy that I ended up being a lazy bitch and not watching the first film until a few hours before I saw the second film, because apparently, accidentally, I discovered the right way to see the movie.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because the first film was already fresh in my head when I went to go see the sequel, and it's like, okay, I can appreciate this more.
Yeah.
Because all of the stuff they're reliving, I just watched on my old VCR like 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. It's okay, but it's nothing to write home about. And now, the Steve Stubbs pick of the week is... Okay, before I announce my Steve Stubbs pick of the week, let me explain a bit. Each week in Steve Stubbs of the Week, I pick my pick of the week. Said pick is by no means the best movie of the week.
Right.
I'm not picking the best film. I'm not picking the best film I've seen. This is just the film I want to discuss the most.
Yes.
This is just the that I have the most to say about, that I feel most passionately about. By no way is my pick of the week the best movie.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah, okay. Good. With that in mind, this week's pick is the Liam Neeson film Cold Pursuit.
Cold Pursuit.
Yeah, Liam Neeson lives in some tiny town in a mountain in Colorado.
Yeah.
It's a small town that also has a ski resort, and it's super small, and it's always snowed in, so Liam Neeson is the rough, gruff snow plower who makes sure that people can get to and from Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
From their little town. And his
So Liam Neeson works for the Department of Transportation?
Yeah, I guess. His son dies of a heroin overdose, but Liam Neeson is like, no, my son wasn't a druggie. So he goes and finds the person who like gave him the drugs, and then that leads him to another person, that leads him to another person, and so he just is just so racked with guilt that he goes out for revenge and starts killing all of these drug dealers and all of these drug kingpins, and it keeps snowballing until it becomes this big, massive drug war. What it reminded me of, a pretty good Pulp Fiction ripoff from like 1997.
Yeah.
Because
okay,
because on one hand, you've got these drug dealers in Denver, Colorado, and they're all like sort of like a Gambinos and whatever. And then on the other hand, in the small town, there's a rival drug gang of Native Americans. And they're all sort of kooky and weird and, I don't know, Native Americans. And then you've got like Liam Neeson's character who's just out for revenge. And then you've got Liam Neeson's brother who used to be a gang member and his Asian wife who just hates everybody. And then you meet the small town cops from the town, and they all have their own sort of plots, and they're intertwined until you get to the big explosive ending. And it just like one of those movies that came out in 96, 97, 98, 99, when Hollywood was just throwing out so many movies because, oh, this is kind of like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
It's criminals and a funny cast of characters and a lot of dialogue. So, sure, we'll release Suicide Kings or Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Yeah.
The only difference is Liam Neeson's character, and I also appreciated this, he barely talked throughout the movie.
Okay.
It was like a Pulp Fiction ripoff, except the main character isn't like constantly talking about pop culture like what happens in a Pulp Fiction ripoff.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson says a goddamn thing. The one scene that I really liked was when Liam Neeson's wife leaves him. She leaves a note on the bed, and Liam Neeson takes a while to read the note because it's empty. It's just a blank note.
Okay.
And I related to that because, again, back to Debbie. Alita Battle Angel put Debbie on my mind. Debbie's dad was an angry white guy who showed no emotion. There are a lot of angry white men who hide their emotions from people, you know?
Yes.
That's a type. And that was Debbie's dad. I hated Debbie's dad because Debbie told me a story. Debbie had a best friend and they were inseparable all throughout elementary school and junior high school and high school. And then in high school, she died. And so the girl that died, their parents called Debbie's house to inform them of her passing. And Debbie wasn't there. And the dad answered the phone and said, oh, yep,
okay, all right, well, I'll relay that message to my daughter. Thank you and have a good day.
And then an hour later, Debbie comes home and the dad, being an angry white dad who didn't show emotion, just turned to Debbie and said, hey, you know your best friend? Yeah, she's dead.
Yes, I remember that story.
It's like, you fucking asshole. So in my mind, that was Liam Neeson's character who barely talked. Like, I understood that. I understood that type of angry white guy who doesn't show emotion. It's the opposite of me. Because I'm an open book. But it was a weird, kooky comedy.
What I was wondering still, whether it was a comedy or not.
It was a violent crime. I guess you could call it like an action dramedy.
Okay.
It has to do with like a lot of it has to do with grief over losing a son. And it has to do with divorce and being alone. But also there's this weird, kooky cast of characters. It was really weird. It seemed to want to be a Liam Neeson action movie, but also be a parody of Liam Neeson action movies at the same time.
Did Liam Neeson at any point in this movie even consider booting the mapping sequence?
Not at all.
No.
It was bull crap.
That could have saved this child's life.
Yeah. But I was pleasantly surprised by Cold Pursuit. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
But I was surprised. I was literally surprised because the previews don't tell you shit. And when you go and see the movie, it's completely different than all of the previews. And that's when I realized I have no idea at all what this movie is about, other than Liam Neeson is out for revenge. Other than that, I have no clue what's going on. So it was interesting. I felt like I went into the movie blind, but I don't know. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Good. Okay.
It felt like a kooky Pulp Fiction ripoff just set in a small town in Colorado.
Okay.
I found it to be interesting.
This is the first thing that you kind of liked in a while, so a little nervous.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be the new Groundhog's Day? Because we're no longer an agricultural society anymore. I mean, shouldn't the sign of coming spring be the first good movie of the new year?
That is a good point. This isn't a good movie, though. This isn't a good movie.
Oh, okay.
It was all right. It was pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't a good movie, but there were some points where I did like laugh out loud.
It sounds like it's in the Jersey Devil category. That movie I told you back a couple of weeks. No, it wasn't a good movie, but there's something there.
Like, Cold Pursuit isn't a great movie, but, like, I, when it comes out, like, I'll get myself a copy of it. I'll maybe sit down and watch it with somebody, you know? Yeah. It's interesting. It's moments. I can see it becoming a cult hit.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good.
That's how weird and kooky it is. I can see this becoming something that, like, later on people appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's it for Steve Stubbs of the Week for this week. Next week, I have no idea what I'm going to watch. Probably the Dumb Dragon movie that I don't give a shit about. And also, I might have to repeat a movie for the first time, but we'll jump off that bridge when we get to it. Join us next week for more Steve Stubbs of the Week. And cut on that segment.